720 WGN, high atop Chicago Skyline Studio. Here we are at really the best venue to watch the race of anywhere in the city. People keep saying, Dane, hey, where should I watch the race from? And I'm like, well, you know, most of it has been a mystery, but now that answer is 610, the Turn 7 Sky Deck right here on Michigan Avenue. It is the best place to see it. And how are people getting here? How are people getting into it? How are people getting into this venue? It's Tail Greeter, right? And we've got in studio with us, we've got Nick and Mirko Akrup. These are the brothers who have started this, the co-founders of it, and they've got the driver, Garrett Smithley. He is the driver, the number four JD Motorsports Chevrolet, the Tail Greeter Chevrolet.
Garrett, that's right.
Welcome to the show, guys. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So when, and I'm sure all the people that are here are doing this, I was not familiar with Tail Greeter, right? But we've all been part of, you know, whether it's events or opportunities that have sort of a here's an invite, here's how you click it, here's how you do it. Some of them are more complicated than others. Tail Greeter's been seamless. It's been so absolutely smooth. It's been the easiest thing. I thought it was great. At first, I'm like, I'm not familiar with it, but it's been awesome. Guys, talk a little bit about, like, one of you, Tail Greeter, how'd you get into this business? How did it start?
Thank you so much. Really selfishly, it was a need for wanting to experience more tailgates, especially down in the SEC and things like that. And from there, it was just so hard to find any kind of information or access to these types of experiences that he convinced me to try and build out a platform where we can collectively put together watch parties, tailgates, meet and greets, fan clubs, all these different things. So here we are.
Okay, so a lot of questions, because, you know, you think, how are you going to get to events? How are you going to, especially like tailgates, and we love tailgates on a regular basis, whether it's the NFL here, of course, NASCAR. I always tell people, you know, okay, so if you're doing it right at a Bears game, you're showing up at 10 for the 12 o'clock game. For NASCAR, we have people show up at, you know, at tracks on Wednesday,
yeah,
right? Tuesday, Wednesday for that Sunday race. So these are tailgates that are epic, and you wonder, how can you connect, you know, other than Facebook or doing whatever. So that was the purpose. So talk about it. Is it, this is an opportunity to find people who love the things that you love and give them an opportunity to get in on it.
Exactly right. Yeah. So we found a passionate group of people that were already out here listing or creating these tailgate experiences, and then gave them a platform to be able to list those in a similar fashion to Airbnb, for example, where, you know, we ask them questions like, are the bathrooms public or private? What kind of music do you listen to? How long have you been doing it? How many people come to these tailgates on average? And then as far as a consumer goes, they can go on, check out different experiences, see anything from, you know, something small with 20, 30 people sitting behind a truck in a parking lot, all the way up to a Turn
really?
7 Sky Deck.
So, yeah. So you can set up and you can sort of craft the invite yourself, and it could be as little as, hey, this is Larry's birthday and we're going to meet behind the pickup truck, or something as big and as cool as really the premier location here race weekend.
Exactly right.
Okay. So when it comes to cost, people are going to be asking that. Listeners are thinking, right, so, you know, what does it cost to do? And of course, you can charge for the event you're doing. Like, this is a premier experience, obviously has some cost to it. Or if it's something else, maybe it's a free event. For Tail Greeter, for people that want to be able to find a way to sign up, how do they do it, Mirko?
Yeah, so you register online, and when you're creating your listing, it's free. So it's a free platform to use. And then you can decide if your event is going to be free or paid. And it's entirely up to the host who has this, who is hosting the tailgate or pregame experience on what they want to charge. So, but in the end, it is a free platform to use.
So when did you guys come up with this? At what, like, was this like last year? Was this a couple years ago? Was this 2 weeks ago? How long has it been around?
Yeah, so 2018, me and him started a tailgate at Soldier Field.
You guys are from here. Okay.
Yeah, born and raised in Chicago. Once we kind of proved out the concept and saw that this was actually something that more people than just us wanted,
right?
That then turned into 2019. We did just over 200 tailgates. Last year, we did just over 1,000.
Wow. People were probably saying, hey guys, great time to like start up this whole get together thing. And then the pandemic happens.
Yeah.
And then you have to like do social distance tailgates or something, right?
Yeah. You know, but when we came back better than ever, because people wanted to be outside. They wanted to have room. They didn't want to be stuck in a bar with 500 people, but being outside in a place like Grant Park is just wonderful.
Yeah. I just love tailgates. So the fact that you guys have it, of course, you can use it for other things. Like you mentioned, Airbnb. There's a bunch of different applications, but to have it centered around the fun and exciting world of partying and pre-gaming before events is the best. And in studio, Garrett Smith. So, Garrett, talk a little bit about this. When it comes to tailgates, and you know this as a driver, obviously you're paying attention on a regular basis to the action on the track. You don't have all that time to hang out with fans. Of course, with the Garrett Smith League fan club, I'm sure that you've used Tailgater for that, right, as well. But kind of just share, for the listeners that are hearing this that aren't in tune or as familiar with the NASCAR world, the tailgating is legendary. I mean, people think on the football side they're doing it right. It's not like racing.
It's second to none. I mean, you go to places like Michigan and Watkins Glen and Daytona and Talladega. Talladega is legendary. Talladega Boulevard, if you haven't been to Talladega Boulevard, you have not experienced what a tailgate can be.
Is that what you call it? Because it is very, if you ever heard any rumors about Talladega Boulevard, I'll have to confirm, and of course Garrett can as well, they're true. So all of that stuff is happening. And for any of those people too that see this cosmopolitan atmosphere here in Chicago, say NASCAR is getting away from their roots, they're still in Talladega. They're right there. You want to get back to NASCAR basics. But yeah, that is like, that is an enormous tailgate. I don't even know if I call it a tailgate. It's so big.
Yeah, it's massive. And I think that's why NASCAR appeals to so many people, right? Because there's so many different walks of life that come in and experience it. And there's so many different ways to experience it. You can experience it drinking beer, shotgunning beers, waking up in the back of your truck. Or you can experience the wine and cheese.
Something for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. You can experience the wine and cheese on the skyline of the Chicago street course. It's incredible. So, and Tailgater, I mean, what a better partner in NASCAR than a tailgate company. I mean, it's incredible.
Thank you, buddy. I think Garrett hit on it too, is like the Airbnb connection could be that, like, this is your Airbnb being the back of someone's truck.
Exactly.
For you to stay at, live in, wake up at, right?
Exactly.
So for this venue here, talk a little bit about how this has been, whether it's the relationship with Jesse, with Emmett Smith. Obviously, some very cool situations happening here. This is great for you guys.
Oh, yeah. They've been fantastic partners, and just to be involved with them has been amazing. ERA has been fantastic. Yeah, I mean, everything, it's been pretty seamless. We've been trying to create a more tailgate atmosphere here at an indoor venue, which I think a lot of, you know, walks of life would appreciate, because you have, you know, upscale high-end items as well as the traditional tailgate games like cornhole, Jenga.
Is that it? There's like traditional tailgate. I guess there is. There absolutely is.
Oh, yeah. So we have cornhole here as well.
You know, traditional tailgate games like e-racing, Sims, that cost thousands of dollars.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is so fun.
Which I'm a huge fan of.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, let's talk really quick about that, because this has been one of those unique events. Nobody had any experience on the track, none of you guys, in any of the series. And so everyone's trying to learn what to do or how to approach it from the Sims. And we've got those here in this event at 610. Have you tried out the Sims?
Absolutely. It's unbelievable. They're full motion rigs, way different than my rig at home. My rig at home is a $150 wheel on my computer desk with my computer chair. Basically like the chair that I'm sitting in right now, talking to you.
Don't dispel the myths. We know that you're up in your super command center.
Yeah. No, it's cool to see some of that stuff. And for us and for every driver that raced this weekend, the sim was absolutely necessary, because there was no testing. There's nothing that can get you prepared to race in the streets of Chicago other than the sim. So we all used it, and obviously it's working.
So the Tailgater event can take on many shapes. It can have different elements and amenities depending on where it is that you are. Nick, you mentioned the SCC, and you think about those legendary tailgates on the college football side, and 1,000 of those, and so they all can't be in the backyards here in Chicago. So kind of give the listeners just a little area. We already see the range, you know, everything from the back of a truck to like an elite event like this. Where are you guys doing stuff?
So we're in over 100 locations now, all over the country, doing pro sports, college sports. We've done everything from WWE events, concerts, festivals, XFL, soccer, baseball, just about anywhere people want to, you know, get together and have a couple drinks before going into an event.
It's what it's all about. You're selling smiles, guys. So as we let you go, Mirko and Nick, give the website for people to get more information and all sorts of exciting ways people can get in, whether it's hosting events, attending events, TailGreeter.
Yep, it's TailGreeter.com, TailGreeter. And you can download the app on both Android and the App Store, and then search for whatever team or location or event you're going to.
We'll have links up at WGNRadio.com. Nick, Mirko, Garrett, thanks so much for everything you guys are doing to make the world a better place, right? And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate you.
720 WGN, it is Dane here with you, high atop Chicago Skyline Studio on the 4th of July. Coming up, just to let people know on the broadcast, we're going to have Alex LeBay. He's going to be joining us. He was the driver of the number 35 of the NASCAR Xfinity Series. He was driving, well, a couple great things. Not only a good car, he's a great road course driver, but he was also driving the El Bandito Yankee Toyota, and then also it was Famous Dave's was on there as well. And Famous Dave's is going to be joining us a little bit later too. Famous Dave himself, the Famous Dave, Dave Anderson, and they've got a big event coming up in Addison on July 8th. It's a porking lot party, and it's going to have not only free food, it's going to have free pulled pork, it's going to have free ribs. It's also going to have, I think, dollar drafts of beers. It is also going to have El Bandito Yankee cocktails in on that as well. So it's something you're definitely going to want to be in on. Plus, there's going to be a barbecue contest. And so there's going to be some of the top pit masters in the area. They're going to be competing to they call it like a golden ticket. So I'm thinking it's kind of like American Idol, where they get that opportunity to compete at the highest level at the World Food Championships coming up in November in Dallas. So that's coming up July 8th. Addison is the location for Famous Dave's. You can go ahead and look that up. Famous Dave himself will be there. There's going to be a contest, but the thing you're really going to be excited about is the free food. They're going to have the free pulled pork, free ribs. They're going to have dollar drafts. And there is also going to be El Bandito Yankee cocktails happening as well. A little bit later on in the program, you heard people talking about Emmitt Smith, the all-time leading rusher for the NFL. Him and Jesse Owuji, they were in town owning one of the teams, and we're going to get a chance to talk with them a little bit about their experience here in Chicago. And then coming up a little bit later than that, we are going to have Sunny Anderson. You know her from The Kitchen on the Food Network, Big Star. Barbecue Brawl is the show. It is starting, premiering next week. She is one of the stars along with Bobby Flay for that. And we'll hear about her 4th of July experience, what it is that she's got going on the grill, and then also the show, what's going to be happening with that. Plus Jim Bob Morris, plus Dave Hammond. Lots of stuff coming up as we'll be here with you until 10. So keep it here. It's Dane on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, typically high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio, but today high atop the most beautiful venue in a city that is doing something it has never done before, in a sport that has never done this before, coming together for this epicenter of awesomeness. And a big part of it here is at Venue 610. We've got Jesse Owuji. We've talked with him a number of times. Fans of the show understand and know what he is all about. A force of not only motorsports, but positivity and opportunity and all of that. And then his partner in motorsports excellence is the one and only all-time leading rusher for the NFL and team owner and motorsports personality, Emmitt Smith. Emmitt, welcome to the show. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Thank you
for having us on the show. No, it's an awesome day. I mean, we're here in Chicago. It's beautiful outside. Weather isn't too bad. It could be a lot hotter, but it's not. And we're good. And we're in the race.
Jesse, is it better to ride a race when it's hot or what?
I don't like
heat. That's a great question.
I don't like the heat. This is the best weather for a race is like
70 degrees.
No. 55 to 60 degrees. That's like the perfect weather for a race.
Is it?
Perfect.
And why?
Because it's nice and cool outside. Motor stays cool. Inside the car stays cool. Tires don't get too hot on the track because they'll warm up eventually. It's just like perfect. It's perfect weather. 60.
So does the car ride better?
It does turn better. It had a little bit better grip.
Okay.
It's not as slippery, right?
I would never know. I've never been in
once
one.
Once the tires warm up, though. If the tires are a little cold, then, you know, at first it might feel a little, a little slick. But then once they warm up, they feel great.
Okay.
And in a situation where this has never happened before, all we've seen is video replications and schematics and just boards and just trying to figure out what it is going to look like, what it is going to feel like. I'm surprised, right, in a city so known for its weather, often bad weather, right? No one's talked about the weather, right? Yeah. Maybe the first, other than is it going to rain? Mm-hmm. But guys, being in the middle of it, right on the precipice of this entire thing, is it what you expected? Does it look like what you thought it would?
Yeah, no, it's definitely looking like exactly how I thought. I mean, we've all been on a simulator, whether, you know, even our team, you know, we've been at the Chevrolet simulator, but even at home, we've been on iRacing for the simulator there, and we've been training and training and training. And yes, they did a really good job of replicating the track, and it is about 95% close on what it is, which is great. Great for the drivers who have been trying to figure out what to do here so they know where to turn, what to do. Also great just for, you know, understanding like, hey, what's the logistics around here? Because it's more than just putting a car out there. The logistics to get here have been absolutely insane. The amount of meetings, the amount of documents we've had, like every single thing we've had to go through just to get here was absolutely incredible.
I think of it, and I mean, think about this too, as a leveling of the playing field in a sport more so than maybe any other professional sport. It's hard to get a leg in. It's hard to control. NASCAR has all the answers, all the connections. In a space like this, you guys actually have the advantages.
Well, we do have some advantages, especially on a new venue or a new track like this. So you actually have to fall back on sim, and you have to learn the routes and the tracks and everything else new versus going to a venue that a lot of these experienced drivers have been at for many, many years. So you take young drivers that does not have the same experience on those tracks. They're learning these tracks as they go. But today everybody's on equal playing field because this is something new. NASCAR has never done this before in a venue like this. And so, yes, you're starting out today on even playing field, and which gives us an opportunity to be successful. So I'm excited about it. And the track itself, I didn't know what to expect. I mean, so I got in this morning about 1-2 o'clock. Now I see the track today in this beautiful venue that we're in. And I'm hearing the cars, and they sound awesome in downtowns. And so I think they did a great job so far.
We've been talking about it all week. There is no, I have to tell you, for all the places people say, hey, Dane, where's a good place to watch the race from? Well, there really isn't one automatic answer right here because it's a road course. It's different. You never know where the venues is. We do know those answers now. It is right here, Venue 610. There is nothing like this experience. And Emmett, when you talked about it as far as things being new, NASCAR is going to be new to a lot of different people. We're going to make a lot of new connections with the sport here, whether it's in this community, whether it's other people in metropolitan areas that see that, where that whole, if they can see it, they can be it in a place not so unlike where they are. Talk about that, growing the sport in a big way.
Yeah, I think growing the sport in a big way is a tremendous responsibility that NASCAR has taken on themselves to do. And so having Jesse, having Ruth, and having Rajay and Bubba and everybody doing what they're doing in terms of racing on the Cup Series or racing right here in the Xfinity Series, et cetera, to be intentional is really the key to the success of what NASCAR truly want to become. When you start talking about diversity, equity, inclusion, it's one thing to have different races, different colors, different this and that and everything else, but to be intentional about growing the program itself and showcasing how the program is going to grow and what it really means to NASCAR to have it grow is something that would bring more and more attention to what NASCAR is trying to get accomplished.
And I think, too, helping to redefine what NASCAR is to people. You look at Jesse, a graduate of an elite institution of higher learning, right? Not often and or always associated with NASCAR. And then you've got Andre Castro. University of Chicago is as good as it gets, right? And to have that connection for you guys, not only to be represented on the track in a car, but with that great institution right here in the city.
Yeah, well, you talking about Castro, this is just what Jesse Wooja Motorsports is all about. It's about creating opportunities, as he would say. It is, go ahead, your cliche.
We are an opportunity-generating system. That's what we are.
And what he just created was an opportunity for Castro. I mean, here it is, right here. Get on the street track right here in Chicago. First time being in a NASCAR, and now he's qualified to be in the race today, and now he's running his first time.
If you look at a proof of concept for something like that, that it can be done, this is a case in point right here.
Case in point right here, and this is exactly what we're all about. This is exactly what Jesse Wooja Motorsports is all about, is creating those opportunities. And this right here, we couldn't ask for a better location for this to happen at, right here in Chicago.
Very last thing, e-racing, so big a part of it, so big a part of what Jesse is and what he brings to it. To have Andre be a product of the simulator, right, to be able to show that you can, with so many odds against you, be able to come in, be good at that, get good at that. It just shows how, I think, accessible the opportunities are. Talk a little bit about e-racing. I think it's the future.
Yeah, most definitely. So sim racing is huge, right? It's great for real life drivers to be able to train on, get ready for the different tracks that we come compete on, especially a place here like Chicago Street Course where nobody has gotten an opportunity to drive it in real life until today. So everybody else has virtually driven it now. And what we did with the eRacing Association was we created this platform to put on these events where people from all around the world could come compete virtually against each other for cash prizes and feel like a pro. And some of these, you know, folks who are competing these events compete against real life drivers in the events. They compete against some of the best sim racers in the world in these events. And it's been great to be able to put on these events, continue to have a lot of people joining, competing, having fun, being broadcasted to thousands and thousands of people. And we do professional broadcasts with the eRacing Association. So we have commentators. We have professional producers who are just, you know, putting on these events like it looks like on TV. And it's just been really, really cool to kind of continue to grow this platform. And we look forward to continue to figuring out a way to really become the number one sim racing event in the world.
You know, I think the best way is to know, first of all, instead of competing against each other in this regard, get behind the ones. If you want to grow diversity, equity, inclusion, get behind what Jess is doing. I mean, at the end of the day, why compete when you can get behind someone that can help expand the sport, the sport itself?
We're stronger together than working against each other.
Why are we working against each other? Why are we stealing concepts and ideas and trying to make it our own? Mm-hmm. Why don't we just get someone that's leading the charge right now? Yep. And right now it's you.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the prime example of taking the e-race guy and putting him on the track and allow him to race for the very first time
is our driver's
right here. Is our driver.
I mean, it's you can show that you can get from here or from there, from anywhere, right, to right here, here on this biggest stage. And this is the path. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com for all of that. But just so excited for you guys, regardless of what happens in the race, and anything can happen. Andre's got as good a chance as anybody. I think you guys already win. I know the people that are here enjoying the race weekend at 6:10, they have won as well. Guys, enjoy the weekend. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thank you.
Well, definitely. Thank you.
720 WGN, it is Dane here back with you, and we have been talking. You know, one of the things that I love about the Dean Richards Show is Dave and the far-flung forecast. And if you know him personally, Facebook friends, you know that he travels. He goes everywhere. Him and his dad traveled all over the place, and you wonder how that all starts. And I remember back to those sort of family kind of truckster vacation, you know, the Griswold kind of thing, right? You get in the car, you're uncomfortable, you're jammed in with maybe some other people, family members, brother and sisters, and a road trip that seems to never end, right? Where you're always asked, hey, when are we going to stop? Do we have to go to the bathroom? And of course, I was always, you know, kind of car sick too. So Dave, you know, welcome back. Think about that. I think that's America, right? It's a big country. America has a love affair with the automobile.
Oh yeah.
That's how we got from point A to point vacation.
Yeah. It was a big thing for me growing up, and it was for a lot of people as well in the 1960s and 70s. You asked me earlier if people still do that. Well, they do, but maybe not as much. But since you're talking about road trips, we traveled the country when I was growing up. One of the reasons why is because our relatives were scattered all over. We didn't have any immediate family right here. My mother's family was in southern Illinois near St. Louis. My dad's family was in Grand Rapids, Michigan in the Detroit area, so we had to go there. Also relatives in California, Washington State, and then some of them out east later on. But I'll never forget, in 1965, my dad took all of his vacation time in August of that year. And we started from here, August 1st, went in through Iowa, into the Dakotas, Mount Rushmore, up into Montana, Canada, back into the U.S., around Washington State, stopped and saw relatives there, then down to California, near Sacramento, California, to see more relatives. My grandparents had flown out from St. Louis, so we met them there at my aunt and uncle's house, picked them up, drove them through the Rocky Mountains.
Where did you put them, Dave? Did you just like, we were in the luggage rack, right? We were just in the back of the station wagon?
It wasn't even a station wagon. It was a 1960 Olds what was it, a dynamic 88. Wow. You know, great big V8 engine in it, and you probably got about 8 miles to the gallon, but we had no air conditioning, by the way. But we drove through the Rocky Mountains and, you know, dropped off my grandparents and then came home right at the end of August. But I'll have to recalculate the miles. It was several thousand miles being on the road. But did we see the country? 3 or 4 national parks, you know, Mount Rushmore, things like that, up into Canada. Just beautiful up in the Canadian Northwest there.
It's so different. You know, here's the difference in it, you know, now and then having kids and then and contemplating road trips and things like that. For you and for me when I was a kid, like on those, some of those things, you didn't have the ability to really see the things in advance. There weren't sizzle reels. There wasn't the internet to ahead and show you pictures. You didn't see the Grand Canyon until you got out of the car and went up to it.
Right. Yeah, that's right. You would see, you know, maybe a picture in a magazine or in a newspaper ad or something like that, a travel section in the newspaper. But what you see online these days, of course, that didn't exist in the 1960s and 70s. And really, if think about it, the 1980s either.
Right.
But there's nothing like seeing something up close. And there's really, we can fly, and that's great. We can get from point A to point B very quickly. But if you want to see our country, go on the road.
Yeah, all of those different things along the way, those stop, you know, whether it's like, and I remember as like a little kid, you had the, you know, the Stuckeys or the Howard Johnsons,
yeah.
And then you had, you know, and then those were with billboards and, you know, and signs and creative advertising. They're trying to lure you into the world's largest ball of twine.
Right.
Or, and then, of course, as a kid, anything that wasn't riding in the car for monotonous hours was like, please, let's go see the ball of twine.
Yep, that, and there was plenty of times, you know, saying, are we there yet? Or is there going to be a swimming pool at the motel? We stayed in a lot of Holiday Inns because back then kids 12 and under stayed free.
Wow.
So it saved a lot of money.
Well, I guess if you could throw them in there with grandma and grandpa, it was like, hey, just throw them on top of everybody else. What do we care? That's what the Holiday Inn people said. 312-981-7200 if people have sort of their thoughts on the road trip. And here's one of the things I would love to hear from listeners, and Julian will be there so you can text it in as well, and we'll read them as we go. But what do you do to pass the time? Because now, like our kids, they all have iPads and phones, and they can have every single song that they ever heard of or wanted to hear on demand, can listen in a loop. We were playing like Punch Bug, right? You saw a certain color car, and you just slug the person
that,
next to you.
That and tried to spot as many different license plates as you could.
Right.
I mean, oh, this person's from Iowa. This person's from Tennessee, you know. And then you'd wave at them, and they would wave back.
In 20 questions, you know, right,
yeah,
is it a live person? Is it a dead person? Right. I mean, the amount of things that you could do, you know, were just very limited, right? And those trips were, you know, they're just as long as they are today. So, Dave, thanks so much for sharing all that.
Anytime.
That's awesome. Yep. Okay. It's 4th of July. Keep it here. It's Dane on 720 WGN.